has asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. It came to pass, as they still went on, they were just walking. They were still on the journey. And behold, all of a sudden there appeared chariots of fire. I guess Hollywood got that title there. I'm sorry, I remembered the 80s. And also did you, so stop acting self-righteous. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters. So casual. Well, when he was talking about the chariots of fire, he was getting pumped up, wasn't he? When he was talking about the horses of fire and the whirlwind, whoo! He missed that thing just laying there the whole time. Somehow it got by him. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. He still hadn't identified two verses in a row. He's still calling it Elijah's mantle. Elijah's gone. Elijah's not there anymore. He's went away in the whirlwind. And the mantle that fell from him, he went back and he got the Elijah's mantle that fell from him. Then he went back and he got Elijah's mantle that fell from him. Verse 14, and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? What about the God of Elisha? When he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. They came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Let's ask God to anoint the remaining part of the service. God of heaven, right now, would you anoint the word, anoint the message, anoint the messenger. God, would you bless the word, this burden that's given me. Anoint the word and the message that goes forth. God, anoint the people that they would receive it. Let this word be anointed. Let it be blessed. Do it in Jesus' name. Help us to receive the word with gladness. Talk to our hearts. Anoint us tonight in Jesus' name. Anoint the word tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. Just for the next few minutes, I'm going to preach to you from the thought, it's time to pick it up. It's time to just pick it up. Amen. Now, you can do a play on words there. It's time to pick up that mantle that we're talking about. Or it's time for us to pick it up, get with it, and go with it. In other words, put it in another gear, if you will. Amen. It's no longer the God of Mom Johnson and Bishop, but it's our God. Amen. Time for us to take ownership, to take up the mantle. Not the anointing that fell from them, but this is our anointing. This is our revival. This is our time. This is our opportunity. It's time to pick it up and go with it. Amen. No longer the God of Elijah, but now it's the God of Elisha. Amen. It's His anointing, His mantle. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Amen. I want to look at just a few things before we get into the where I want to go with my message. But there were a few places first that Elisha had to go before he ever got that mantle. But isn't it something that throughout the whole thing it says, and there were the sons of the prophet just standing around looking on. They were just standing around. Don't you love it when you're on the job and something? And I thought you was a Christian. Always standing around, always questioning, always seeing if you've got the anointing or not. That's all they were doing. They were waiting to see what happened. And all of a sudden, when they did see it, if you'll notice one thing, and in studying, I found out that they never crossed over Jordan. Read it for yourself. They went all the way, but when it got to Jordan, they had to stop at Jordan. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They'll come all the way in. They'll serve God a little bit, but you look at the scriptures. Honey, it's that scripture that says, hated for my name's sake. Honey, when it comes to the name, they don't want to go through the water. They stop right there on this side of the water. They're not willing to cross on over because that means true commitment, honey. When you walk through the water, amen, when you go all the way through the water and out the other side, that means there's a commitment there. But I want to look at just a couple of things in the Scripture. First being the word Elijah. When you look it up, the word Elijah means my God is Jehovah. When you look up the word Elisha, it means my God is salvation. He was later known as the double portion prophet. But Elisha, the word there means my God is salvation. I found that in studying, one thing that set these prophets apart was simply the mantle that they wore. The mantle, most men wore some kind of loose-fitting outer garment. But the prophets wore a certain kind of mantle that identified them. Kind of like a coat of arms, I guess. But the prophets, they were known by the mantle they wore. In 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 7 and 8, I'll read it for you. 2 Kings chapter 1 verse 7 and 8. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was a hairy man, could have been one of the Kennys, and girt with a girdle of leather. Okay, he had on a girdle, mark the Kennys out. He had on a leather girdle about his loins. And when he did, unless I need to know something on any of that, unless, I don't even see him. I know Mark. There's Brother Brandon. If I've got anything to worry about, just let me know. Got it? No. Okay. No. All right. Just got some leather. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I don't need to go there. That's a different class, a different lesson. Not tonight. Leather. No girdle. Just lots of leather. Amen. 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 Brother Wayne. bad thought. Amen. So look at verse 7 there, or verse 8 there, and he said, oh, that's Elijah. He knew immediately who he was. When he started talking about that next time we say leather girdle, you'll think of Brother Brandon. But that's who he was. The next time you see leather in a store, you're like, Brother Brandon shops here. Thank you, brother, for that insight. But we find that he was known by his mantle. Now, I found in one place of study that we want to think of the mantle. It was an outer covering. And it talked about the oil representing that inner anointing. But that mantle, it was represented that outer covering. At one place in the Scripture, in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 26, just for sake of time, I won't turn there, but mantles also were worn for protection at night from the cold. They were there to protect you from the elements, the outside elements, the, They were there in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 26. The Bible says that you couldn't take someone else's mantle. Let me just turn there. Can I get a help? Brother Larry, thank you. Thank you. Did you just turn there that fast or did you get my scripture? Ooh, you fast as grease lightning, son. All right. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment, you help me preach. What are you doing over there? If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. Next verse. For that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. So the scripture says that if you borrowed his raiment, you had to have it back to him, or his mantle, you had to have it back to him by sunset of the same day. You could not keep someone else's raiment or mantle. Elisha was called, if you look at the scripture, and I am going to try my very best to stay. Sometimes we get following after, you feel it, and we'll follow after something, and we'll stay at something, and I'll end up. Tonight I'm going to try to be very diligent. Brother Kenny, we may not get there, but we're going to try to follow all the way down till I get done at 9. I'll do my very best. But I want to try to follow. I've got all my scriptures laid out because it is important what the scripture has to say. I can do a whole lot of talking, but it's important what thus saith the word of the Lord. I want to read the scriptures to you. Amen. And so we find in 1 Kings chapter 19, maybe four chapters previous to our scripture reading, 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19, the Bible says, so he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done unto thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, boiled their flesh with the instrument of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Can I tell you, in the very beginning of this scripture text, the anointing and the mantle comes at a cost. There has to be sacrifice. There has to be an altar built. There has to be some bloodshed, if you will, before this mantle ever comes to fruition, and before you ever get to where the mantle falls and you pick it up for yourself. Amen. You have to go through a few places. However, Elisha, to actually inherit this mantle, he had to set his heart to follow Elijah. It happened inside, the same as outside. He had to make up in his mind. Scripture talks in one place, purpose in his heart. But in spiritual application, there are four places that Elisha had to go first. Amen. The very first being, if you'll read in the scripture, in our scripture text, we find in verse 1 that it says that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. If you look up the word Gilgal, this is a root. This is taken from a root word which actually means beginning point of commitment. I thought that was so neat in studying that the very first place he went to was a place of commitment, where he committed that I'm in this thing all the way. I'm willing to leave some things behind. I'm willing to pay the price, brother. I'm willing to sacrifice some things. And honey, there'll be a sacrifice in your life. You're going to have to sacrifice some time and sacrifice of yourself before you ever get that anointing, before it ever takes place, before it ever falls from heaven, if you will. Amen. There has to be a place of commitment. It was first mentioned, we find that it was first mentioned in the book of Joshua chapter 5. I'm not going to turn there. But where Joshua could not lead the people into the promised land until all the young men were sealed with circumcision. This was that sign of commitment to God. Amen. You cannot live off someone else's commitment. I can try all I want, but I can't live on my mom and dad's commitment. Neither can my kids live on my commitment. You cannot live, young people, on your mom and your dad's commitment or your Sunday school teacher's commitment. That's good, and that's great that they have commitment. But if you ever get that anointing in your life, you are going to have to come to a place of commitment. Amen. Never can you live off somebody else's commitment, but there has to be that sign of separation. Amen. Elisha was willing to leave his plow behind. Willing to leave his oxen and his family behind to follow the call of God. Amen. You are going to leave behind your own ambitions. Amen. You're going to have to lay aside some of your own dreams and your own desires to see true revival. Amen. In your ministry. There has to be a separation, but there must first be a commitment, Brother B. For it ever comes to pass. That separation has to be there, yes. But there will be a time and a place where we say, God, I'm committed to revival. I'm committed to the cost of revival. I'm willing to leave behind all of the other things and go forward into the anointing. Because it means more than anything to me. It meant more than his family to Elisha. He was willing to leave it all behind. And all he did was pour water on the man of God's hands. All he did was run after the man of God, if you would. I felt like that before. I felt like all you do is just, you're constantly ministering. And I've seen preachers before always waiting on the whirlwind and always waiting on the fire and always waiting on the... And God called them to just pour water on the man of God's hands. And if they were faithful and if they were committed, that's the first step to having that anointing. But we get so caught up, if you would, waiting on the whirlwind when the mantle's laying there all the time. We got to leave behind our own ambitions and desires to ever see true revival and anointing. Second place I want to go to, the Bible says, is they went to Bethel. Verse 2, he says, tarry here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. If you look there at the word Bethel in Hebrew, it simply means the house of God. This is where Jacob first had his vision of the angelic ladder. This is where he first encountered the supernatural. Amen. Every anointed ministry, every ministry and church, if there's going to be vision, if there's going to be revival and anointing, is going to have to be rooted in prayer. Amen. There is going to have to be a time and a place coming to the house of God, knowing the God of the house of God. Amen. Principles concerning revival are the same as principles concerning rain. Turn with me to Job, or go very quickly to Job chapter 36, if you would, Brother Caleb, Job 36 and verse 26. When I begin to look at Elisha and the mantle that had fallen, I quickly realized he had to go through some things first. We all want the anointing. We all want that mantle, honey. It would be easy if we just picked it up. It would be easy, brethren. And we want to do so much, and we want that anointing, and we want that mantle. But I realized in studying, they had to go through some places before they ever got to the whirlwind. There had to be a cost that was paid, and some places that they went to, and they had to go through some things before they ever got to that anointing. And so I find that when we are in Bethel, in Job chapter 36, verse 26 and 27, the Bible says, "Behold, God is great, and we know Him not. Neither can the number of His years be searched out. For He maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof." In other words, according to the vapor that goes up determines the amount of rain that comes down. What is a song when the glory goes up, or when the praise goes up? The glory comes down. When the vapor goes up, the rain comes down. The amount of Holy Ghost rain depends entirely upon the amount of prayer which ascends. The amount of prayer that goes up determines the amount of anointing and Holy Ghost that moves in a service. Pre-service prayer, the importance of pre-service prayer cannot be measured in number, but it can be measured in anointing. It's hard to put a value on pre-service prayer, but when we come to the house of God and we have a mind to pray and we're willing to pray, and the people that have come to the house of God, that have come to Bethel, if you would, and they enter into pre-service prayer, they are not praying, "Now I lay me down to sleep," but they're praying, "God, we need that anointing to fall, if you would. God, we need that mantle to fall, if you would. If you're willing to let it fall, God, we'll pick it up tonight." Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Come on, He's worthy. Amen. But the amount of Holy Ghost rain depends entirely upon the amount of prayer that goes up. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. More prayer, more power. Much prayer, much power. If you're experiencing a spiritual drought in your life, amen. If you're experiencing a dry, thirsty desert place, a drought spiritually in your life, amen, check your prayer life. Check how much time you spend talking to God. Check how much time you spend coming to the house of God and falling on your face truly in an experience of prayer. I'm not talking about coming for just 30 minutes of just counting the time you come into the parking lot and walk inside, and by the time you get up here, 10 minutes are gone, and you leave early so you can be outside of the car at exactly 30 minutes, and you might have gotten 10 minutes right in the middle. But I'm talking about willing to leave everything else aside for that span of time. Elisha was willing to lay it all down. He was willing to leave everything behind him. He was willing to make that sacrifice and build an altar for the fire to begin to burn in his life and that anointing. He had to first take everything around him and lay it on the altar. Everything that represented his life, you look at it, he laid it on the altar. Told his family, kissed them goodbye. And then all his livelihood and all his work and everything that he was doing, he just simply laid it on an altar. And he burned it before the Lord. And as that commitment, if you would, went up before the Lord, the Holy Ghost, even though it hadn't fallen yet and that mantle hadn't came down yet, I believe God was already on the scene. He was looking. Because here was a young man willing. Amen. You don't catch God by surprise. Amen. You don't surprise God. You're not gonna pull a fast one on God, honey. God's got His eye on you. He's watching you. Just like the devil goes to and fro seeking whom he may devour, God goes back and forth to and fro seeking who he can bless. He's just looking on, seeing who he can pour his spirit out on, who he can bless and pour an anointing out on. Honey, the rest is up to you. If you want that anointing, I said, the rest is up to you. And if you're ever going to get to that mantle and that anointing, you got to not only go through Gilgal, that place of commitment, but you got to go to the house of God. And you got to send a little Holy Ghost rain up, a Holy Ghost vapor up, a Holy Ghost prayer up for that spiritual rain to fall down. Third place they went to, the Bible says they went to Jericho. Verse 4 says, Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. You look at the Hebrew word Jericho. The Hebrew word there means a place of fragrance. Jericho is the battleground of spiritual understanding. The place where fragrant anointing is poured out on a life. Amen. There is no copycat, if you would, for anointing. There's no alternative. There's no copycat for truth. The world tries to mimic it. The world tries to get as close to it as they possibly can. But there is no what was it Bishop preached years ago? There's no substitute for the real thing. Good, thank you. There's no substitute for the real thing. Honey, there is no substitute for the anointing. It only comes through that brokenness. There is no copy for true anointing. It is the place where fragrant anointing is poured out, and it only comes through brokenness. That olive, it's only when that olive is crushed and beaten for that oil to come out. In John chapter 12 and verse 3, John chapter 12 and verse 3, the Bible says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. Isn't that something? He put in a pound of ointment of spikenard, comma, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The house was filled with the odor, the fragrance of the ointment. We find, if you look at spikenard, it was very costly because I found in studying it, it took 500,000 of the crushed nards, if you would, the spike of a fragrant East Indian plant, to make just 1 pound. It cost approximately 1 year's wages. The reason the fragrance filled the room, because something precious had been crushed. Dying to ourselves is necessary. Dead men can't be offended. Dead men can't have hurt feelings. Dead men don't carry chips on their shoulders. Amen. But they are willing to be crushed, willing to be broken for that anointment, willing to go to Jericho. Number 4, the Bible says they went to Jordan. Jordan here, translated from the Hebrew word Yarden, which means descender. They had to go to Jordan. The last place the Bible says they went was Jordan. If you read in verse 6, the Bible says, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Talk about commitment. all along, the Bible says Elijah had told him, hey, just stay here a while. No. You don't understand. I've already felt this before. I felt it when this mantle was laid over me, and I like what I've felt before. You know, one of the reasons we keep coming to the house of God, because you like what you feel. And because you felt it before, amen, you felt a touch of heaven, and you can't wait till you feel it again. And you can't wait till one day, that's where you spend all of eternity. Why? Because I've seen it, I've felt it, I've experienced it. Amen. And I'm. Well, come on. You can go aside and come on. It's not worth it. Yes, it is. What are you doing? Well, I'm leaving everything. I'm going to Gilgal, and I'm going to Bethel, and I'm going to Jericho, and I'm on my way to Jordan. Why? All because of that anointing. All because of the mantle. The Bible says it is taken from a Hebrew word which means descender. Amen. You look at it. It was at Jordan when the mantle descended from heaven on Elijah. And fire falls on the church. It's when we quit looking to man, if you would, to humanity, if you would, and we start looking to the heavens. It's when he quit looking at Elijah here, and the Bible said Elijah went up into a whirlwind and he started looking to the heavens. It was from the heavens all of a sudden that mantle started coming down. When the mantle falls is when we no longer look to humanity, but to God. Amen. We have to go through Jordan. To get to Jordan, we have to go through Gilgal, the commitment. Amen. We have to go through Bethel, prayer. We have to go through Jericho, brokenness. You find in 2 Kings chapter 13, I just want to read this to you very quickly. 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 20. Elisha became known as the double portion prophet, if you would, after his death. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20, and Elisha died. They buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass that as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood upon his feet. It took all the way till after his death before that promise was fulfilled. But he said to Elisha, if you're there when I go up, what is it that you want? He said, I want a double portion of your anointing. I want a double portion of what you have. And you look at the scripture, Elijah, there were 8 major miracles that took place under Elijah's ministry. And here we find that a double portion was promised. But Elisha died, and only 15 had come to pass. Seemingly, God had missed it. Seemingly, he hadn't done very well in math. He lost out on that last one. And the Bible says in 2 Kings 13 that man, after he had died, was let down into that sepulcher. And when he touched the bones of that man of God, the Bible says he came to life again, fulfilling that promise. God is faithful. Amen. God, can I tell you, it may seem a long time ago, the promise. But the song says the promise is coming down the dusty road. I don't know how long ago it was that God has promised you. But if God promised you, honey, God is faithful. Amen. His purpose in our lives will be accomplished. Amen. The dreams of God, they never die. When God makes a promise, you can bank on it, honey. It may be that it's even after Elisha's death, but God kept his promise. Amen. So we find at the end of our text, we find there are chariots of fire. We find there are horses of fire. We find there are whirlwinds. But somehow, he missed the mantle that had floated down and landed on the ground at his feet. Somehow, he overlooked the mantle. He overlooked what was laying there all alone. You look and I want to jump over to 1 Kings chapter 19, very quickly. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9, if you will, Brother Caleb. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What dost thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous of the Lord God of the host, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah had heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in all of the chariots of fire, if you would. But in a still, small, quiet voice. Amen. So many times, you and I, we are busy looking at the wind. Busy looking at the fire. Busy looking for the earthquake when it's laying right at our feet. We look at people's ministry and we think, wow, aren't they going to be blessed? Just because there's earthquakes following their ministry. What about the one who struggles? What about the one with the home mission church? What about the one that nobody seems to know, but yet there's no earthquake, there's no fire? I was talking with a preacher and it kind of triggered this thought this afternoon along these lines, and we were talking about that very same thing. What happens to the one over here that nobody ever seems to know and recognize, and they fight hell day and night? Seemingly every step is a struggle, and yet others are surrounded with numbers and surrounded with all of these things, and we as people, we tend to go, ooh, the rock. Ooh, North Little Rock. Ooh, and we look at all of that when right here, laying at our feet, is an anointing like never before. Maybe we've gotten familiar with it because we associate it with pouring water on the man of God's hands. And we're busy, Brother B, looking for that anointing, or looking for the whirlwind. And we are busy looking for the fire, Brother Shelton. And as men, we are so busy sometimes looking for the ooh. And if somebody gives a word, ooh. And so, like the person that came that time and won't know, well, who gives tongues in your church? I said, excuse me, I thought it was a trick question at first. Pardon me. And who gives a word in your church? And I said, well, the Lord does, and the man of God does. This has been several years ago. But they come looking for the fire. They come looking, and all along, perhaps, maybe he had become familiar with it. After all, he had felt it before. After all, he had been around it. In Gilgal, he'd been around it. In Bethel, and mundane, and the normal, and the rut, and the routine, he had been around it. And perhaps in looking for this whirlwind, and looking for this earthquake, the anointing slipped by him because he had become familiar with it. And it had been there all along, waiting for someone to pick it up. Waiting for some young person just to take up responsibility. Waiting for some young adult, some young couple just to pick it up, take it up and say, I'll go with it. Waiting for some young preacher, some young musician or singer, somebody to step out and say, you know what, it's been there long enough. It's been laying there long enough. I believe I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to pick it up if you would. I'm going to take it up and go with it. I'm tired of looking around for the fire and the earthquake. And yes, I'd love to see the fire and the earthquake, but I want the anointing. Yes, we got to go through a few things. Yes, we got to spend some time in prayer and in the house of God. But if you are willing to pick it up, there is a double portion waiting for you. There is an anointing waiting for Landmark if we will just pick up what has been there all along. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I want a double portion. I want an anointing. I want a revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Sometimes while we're busy looking for revival with this program and looking for revival in this little program and this little organization, the whole time we had revival all along. The whole time we had the anointing all along. The whole time revival and the mantle was here laying at our feet waiting for us to pick it up. But we were too busy looking at the earthquake and the wind and the fire. Amen. Isaiah 55 verse 9. Isaiah 55 and verse 9 says this. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Sometimes the mantle, it slips by us. Because His ways are higher than our ways. Because if it's in the earth and the earthquake and the wind, it might seemingly look like that it's in us. And we're the ones bringing revival when God says not so. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. It's in that mantle, and that mantle, it has been there all along. But perhaps He had become familiar with it and He left it laying at His feet. All He had to do was pick it up. If you would, turn to 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 3. Amen. How many is getting the idea? How many is picking up on it? It's just time to pick it up and go with it. It's just time to reach down. Pick it up, Brother Bundy. Take it upon ourselves. Take that responsibility. Take up that burden. Take up that anointing. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible says, and one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, here we go at Jordan again, they cut down wood, verse 5, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. That's verse 7. The axe, here we're at Jordan again. And you go back one verse before that, and he said they all had to build their own place, and they were all busy building. They were involved, and they were building their own place, and one of them borrowed an axe head, and we all know that iron sinks. Iron axe head sinks to the bottom, but his ways and his thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts. And the Bible said he hollered, it's a borrowed axe head. It's not mine. I borrowed it. And he went to the man of God. And the man of God took a twig, if you would, and he cast it into the water. And the Bible said the iron floated. How sad if that was the end of the story. But you read verse 7. The man of God had to tell him, pick it up. He's just standing there looking at it. How many times have we stood in the house of God? How many times has an anointing been right here? Has the axe head been floating? And we're just standing here looking at it. And the man of God said, "Hey, Yoo-hoo, pick it up. It's time for somebody in here to realize that a miracle and an anointing is right there in front of them. Turn around and look at somebody and say, pick it up. Look at somebody else and say, pick it up. Now look to the heavens and say, I'm going to pick it up, Lord." Come on, let's give him another hand clap. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Verse 7 said, "Take it to thee," and he put out his hand and took it. Amen. Thank God for a man of God that just simply reminded him, "Hey, friend, just reach down and pick it up." That anointing, that mantle that he had been around for so long in Gilgal and Bethel and Jericho and Jordan, so long that he had become, it had just become routine, old hat, if you would. He'd become familiar with it. The Bible simply said that it was there beside him. And all of a sudden, Elijah's gone. Elijah's already up and out of here. And let me first, before I go there, because I'm going to close here very quickly. I want to close here very quickly. But it's time. And if you would, go ahead and get me Esther chapter 4. If you would please, brother. Esther chapter 4. It's time some men in here picked up the responsibility of prayer and picked up the mantle of prayer. Because unless we as preachers and we as men and we as leaders of our homes and heads of our homes, unless we spend some time in Bethel and some time in prayer, that anointing will never happen. Unless you and I go through some things, that anointing will never take place. We spend all of our time looking around for the fire. And instead, the responsibility of prayer, the responsibility of worship, the responsibility and the burden of a service has been there all along, waiting for somebody to pick it up. Because it's in that that the anointing takes place. It's in that picking it up, that transfer, if you would, that when we pick it up and it goes up before the Lord, all of a sudden here is where that anointing begins to descend and that anointing begins to fall on us. If you would, look at the book of Esther chapter 4 and verse 1. "When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes." In just a moment, we're going to read in the scripture where Elisha, the Bible said, he rent his clothes in frustration. He tore his clothes because he thought that the promise had gotten by. The promise, he somehow, some way missed it because he didn't see it. Somehow, read it for yourself. The Bible says he rent his clothes in half and said, "My father," because he thought that that moment had passed him by. Because he was looking at the whirlwind when the mantle was laying there all alone. Here we find that Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Verse 4, if you would, please. "So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him. But he received it not." We can try to put alternatives and put other things in the place of true Holy Ghost outpouring, but it'll never work. We can try to dress it up every different kind of way. And the fact of the matter was that Mordecai said, I don't want it. I've already torn off my clothes. I got on sackcloth and ashes. I'm not interested in putting on any other garments, if you would. And so we find that in verse 13, Go to 13 and 14. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." Verse 14. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" He said, "I cannot wear it for you, Esther. You're going to have to pick it up for yourself. Honey, can I tell you, if you don't, somebody else will. If you don't do it, and it misses your generation, honey, somebody else will. But you will pay the price for it down the road. Amen, you hear me? If you do not pick it up and go with it, someone else will. We will have revival with or without you. But you will pay the price one way or another come judgment day, friend. One way or another, Esther, if you don't pick it up, there'll be another step in your place. I don't want to miss heaven because somebody else stepped in before me in the last hour. It's been there all along. It's time somebody picked it up. He said, "I cannot wear it or pick it up for you, Esther. It's time you pick up the mantle." Amen. It's time that's Landmark. It's time the men and women, the moms and dads of Landmark, reach down and pick up the mantle that has been there. Quit looking for it in the earthquake and the wind. Quit looking for it in other places, honey. True anointing is here. Yes, sir, you got to go through some things. Yes, sir, you got to spend time in prayer. But that anointing and that mantle is here. How about somebody reach down and pick it up? Pick up prayer. Pick up worship. It's time somebody picked up the Word. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Amen. Just remain standing. Amen. Just remain standing. We're coming to a close. Amen. The text says that the 50 sons of the prophets were standing by, looking on. Just like the enemy. Just like the enemy trying to put fear in the hearts of the people. Just like the Trinitarian world. Just like the enemy. Just like the devil himself and the spirits and demons of hell. They stand around trying to strike fear in the hearts of the preacher, in the heart of the preacher, and in the hearts of the people. They tried to intimidate. And the Bible said the 50 sons of the prophets, they had came to Jordan to view. And when the Bible said the earthquake and the whirlwind went up, and the mantle had seemingly fallen. And Elisha, thinking that he had missed it, he tore his clothes in frustration. He rent his clothes in frustration, thinking that he had missed it. The Bible says he just reached down and he picked up that mantle, familiar with it, been there all along. And he still was saying, "The God of Elijah and Elisha's mantle." Verse 13, "The God of Elijah and Elisha's mantle." Verse 14, "The God of Elijah and Elisha's mantle." And the 50 sons are standing there watching, putting fear in Elisha's heart. Because Elisha wasn't sure if that anointing was there. He wasn't sure if it was in that mantle. He wasn't sure if he had that power in his hand. He was not sure what he had, so he kept saying, "The God of Elijah." Not my God, but the God of Elijah. And the mantle of Elijah. And the Bible said those men were standing around, those false prophets, if you would, were standing there trying to put fear in the hearts of the people, trying to cause him to doubt, to question. And the enemy would like to strike fear in the hearts of God's people here tonight. Tomorrow, on the job, you know what he's going to do? He's going to try to intimidate you and put fear so you won't step out on faith. And so you won't step out in the anointing and lay hands on somebody on the bus, if you would. And you won't pray with somebody on your lunch break. And you won't teach somebody a Bible study in the lunchroom or in the car or the Starbucks. Or you won't teach anybody a Bible study because you're not sure if the God of Elijah is your God. And if the mantle and that anointing that Elijah had, well, you're not sure if you've got it, Elisha. And the enemy strikes fear and doubt and unbelief and hesitation in your heart and causes you to question, is it real or is it not? Is it for me or is it for somebody else? Is this the God of Elijah or is this my God? Can I tell you, I'm here tonight to tell every single one of you in here, the devil is a liar. And I rebuke fear. I rebuke doubt. I rebuke unbelief in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that hesitation that would cause you to miss out on it. Because if you don't pick it up, somebody else will. And if you don't grab a hold of that anointing, somebody else will step in your place, honey. It's time somebody picked it up. It's time somebody reached down and picked up that anointing. Picked up the mantle. It's time we tried it on ourselves and said, no longer is it the God of Elijah, but it's the God of Elisha. It's no longer the God of my mom and dad, but it's my God. It's my anointing. It's my mantle. It's time somebody just picked it up. I said, it's time you picked it up. It's time you picked it up. Come on, let's get a hold of this thing. It's time I pick it up. Come on, turn around to somebody and tell them it's time you picked it up. Come on, I dare you to come around the front in closing tonight. I dare you to pick it up if you would. In the worship service, pick it up. In the pre-service prayer, pick it up. In back in the preacher, pick it up. Pick up that responsibility and that burden and that anointing. Bless God, I feel the Holy Ghost. He rent his clothes in frustration because he thought the promise had not come to fulfillment. All the while it was laying at his feet. All the while the promise was laying at his feet. It's time you and I pick up the promise of revival and go with it. It's here all along. It's time we pick up that anointing. Huh? Come on, it's time we pick up revival. It's laying at our feet. It's been there all along. It's time we just pick it up. Amen. God's fulfilling His promise. I said God's fulfilling His promise. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight in closing. Amen. Worship with us. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. It's time to pick it up. Come on, I said it's time to pick it up. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship a little bit. Hallelujah. Quit waiting on a whirlwind. Quit waiting on the fire. Quit waiting on an earthquake. Well, why don't you reach down and pick it up in Jesus' name? Pick up the promise that God has promised you.
I'm standing my ground. His word I believe. The devil can't stop it. It's gone the way. Claiming my promise today. Claim it. Claim your promise today. Claim it. It's been gone the way. Claim it. Claim your promise today. Claim your promise today. I'm claiming my promise. God has promised to me. spread out the heat. The devil can't stop it, blessings on the way. I'm claiming my promise today. God has promised to me, I'm standing my ground, it's what I believe. The devil can't stop it, blessings on the way. I'm claiming my promise today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. How many going to pick it up with me? How many going to take up the word? Take up prayer. Take up the burden. The responsibility. It is ours. Amen. Amen. I hope in some way, as in the scripture, he said, hey, pick it up, oh boy. The miracle's right there in front of you. Tonight, tomorrow, when the enemy tries to come in and convince you and intimidate you and put fear in your heart and cause you to question the word that went forth tonight. You tell him, no, 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 no. It ain't in the whirlwind, devil. It ain't in the earthquake, devil. It's in that anointing. It's in that mantle. It's been there all along. I've got a hold of it. I've got a hold of revival. I've got a hold of this thing. Yeah, but nobody passed out in the spirit, and nobody was slain in the spirit, and nobody gave tongues. And Sister Kenny didn't laugh in the spirit. She didn't give that happy, holy laugh. And you can look for the earthquake. And you can look for Brother Roll to get drunk in the spirit. And add that real quick. You can look for one of these ladies to give out a hallelujah hold down and Brother McKelvey to do a hallelujah war hoop. And we can go out of here thinking that, you know what? I didn't see an earthquake, and I didn't see the fire, and I didn't feel the heat, and I didn't feel the shaking, and it'll be laying there all along. The mantle will be at your feet all along, and you'll walk out of here never picking it up. And honey, there's somebody right next to you. There's somebody waiting in line to say, I want that anointing. If you don't want the birthright, I'll get it. If you're not going to take it, I'll get it. If you're not going to pick it up, I'll get it. I'll get up in the morning and start praying. Why? Because I picked up that mantle. Tomorrow, how many are going to pick up the mantle of prayer? Pick up the mantle of the word. Pick up worship. Pick up the burden of revival. Inviting somebody to church. Picking up the mantle. Saying, right here is revival. I claim the promise in Jesus' name. And invite them in. Here's the deal. We invite them to church. And because there's no earthquake. And because there's no great shaking. And because there is no, ooh. We think, well, it wasn't in that one. And we go on. And the whole time, God just wanted you to pick it up. God just wanted you to take a trip to Gilgal and go by Bethel, go by Jericho, go by Jordan on the way to pouring out that anointing upon you. We had to pick it up for ourselves. You had to go, and I had to sit down in that library and say, hey, man, how you doing? They called him the Wheeze, or Weasel, because he was so little. He's grown up so big now. And they called him the Wheeze in school. And I sat down there by him, kind of an outcast is what we both were. I had on jogging pants and three-quarter length sleeve shirts. Had on a T-shirt underneath the three-quarter length sleeve shirt. And man, wasn't there a separation. But it's because of that separation that we still preach the doctrine of separation. We still preach the doctrine of holiness. There's got to be some young person willing to pick it up. Not because your mom and daddy made you do it, but because you love truth, because you love revival, because you want a move of God more than anything. You're willing to leave popularity behind you, willing to leave the pull of the world behind you, willing to take up the mantle, follow the man of God wherever it has to go. I'll minister. I'll pour water on the hands of the ministry, whatever I have to do. But I want revival. But I want an anointing. More than anything. More than anything. How many is willing to pay the price? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Come on, I'm willing to pick it up in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Turn around to somebody and tell them, pick it up. Amen. Look at somebody else and say, it's time to pick it up. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed in Jesus' name. Any announcements, Sister Johnson? Any announcements? Ladies' prayer Saturday. How many ladies are going to pick it up? Hey, hallelujah. How many ladies are willing to pick up Saturday afternoon prayer? I believe it's 3 o'clock, right? 3 o'clock prayer. Amen. Any other announcements, Brother Shupp? Anything concerning camp? Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. Ooh-wee, it just turned 9:07. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.